Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, this Lord's Day, Jesus calls you sheep. And that is not a compliment. Sheep aren't known for their intellect. In fact, they're not even known for their common sense. I'm not sure if there is any animal that embodies foolishness and dependence like sheep. It's an animal that needs to be shown what food is good to eat and what food isn't good to eat. An animal that will wander off a ledge if given the opportunity. When Jesus calls you sheep, he does so very intentionally. For to speak spiritually, we don't know what food is good for us. And if we had our way, we would walk off the ledge of spiritual depravity. Jesus calls you sheep, and it's not for flattery. He says we are sheep because we have a really good shepherd. Jesus is your good shepherd. For you heard his voice, and he has brought you to his fold. Jesus here makes a contrast. That there are shepherds and there are hired hands. Now, at first blush, there is really no difference between the two. You would go out to the pasture and you would see a shepherd guiding the sheep, and then you would see a hired hand guiding the sheep. Some sheep start to wander off and the shepherd draws them back to the fold, and so does the hired hand. So if you didn't know any better, there is absolutely no difference between a shepherd and a hired hand. But when trouble comes, that's when you notice the difference. Now, if a burglar broke into a small jewelry store, who is more likely to put up a fight? The entry-level minimum wage employee or the store owner? The employee says, "I don't get paid enough to do this." But the store owner, he has poured his life's work and investments into the store. It means so much more to him. And so it is with the shepherd and the hired hand. While most of the time you can't tell the difference between a shepherd and a hired hand, when the wolf comes to kill and to scatter the sheep, the hired hand says, "I don't get paid enough to lay my life down for these sheep." And he takes off and finds safety. But the shepherd doesn't take off to find safety. The shepherd digs in to defend the sheep, to defend the sheep unto death. Jesus does not say, "I'm the good hired hand." He says, "I am the good shepherd." The fundamental difference between the two, a shepherd and a hired hand, is the entire point of this gospel reading for today. What separates the shepherd from the hired hand is who the sheep are to the shepherd. You see, the hired hand doesn't put himself in harm's way for the sheep because the sheep mean nothing to him. But the shepherd defends the sheep unto death because the sheep are his. And this is the point that Jesus makes when he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Now, if you think about it, that is really something amazing. That Jesus, the good shepherd, is willing to fight unto death because of the fellowship he has with you. That you are sheep belonging to God. That you are in God's fold because he has brought you here. He brought you here through the waters of holy baptism, bringing you into his fold. Now, you don't brand sheep like you would cattle. Instead, what they do is they put an ear tag on sheep. So the day that you were baptized, you were marked with an ear tag claiming that you belong to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That you belong to God, and it's for this reason the shepherd is willing to do anything to defend his sheep. Well, a hired hand might not be invested enough to risk his life for someone else's sheep. The shepherd will not let anything harm his own sheep. That ownership, that belonging is what defines the shepherd. And this is the important thing. The belonging of the sheep to the shepherd exists because of the shepherd. That he found us. He took us. And he marked us as his own. We are not his because we've impressed him or because we've earned it. We're sheep. That God called us and made us his sheep apart from our will, our choice, or doing. But it gets even better. Listen to how Jesus describes the knowing that exists between him and us. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Did you hear that? The nature of Jesus knowing us is described in the same way as Jesus to the Father. That is almost incomprehensible. The kind of unity and fellowship that exists between God the Father and God the Son is the kind of unity and fellowship that exists between you and Jesus. And when God does something, he does it completely. There's either love or wrath. There's either unity or disunity. There's either fellowship or no fellowship. With God, there is no middle ground. And God is not waiting to see if you'll prove yourself. He's not waiting to see if you'll learn from your mistakes. When you were given that ear tag, when you were baptized, God established a fellowship with you. Not of wrath, but love and unity. The good shepherd will see to it that nothing ever comes between you and God. We do learn in this passage, however, that you are now a target of attack. Jesus warns that the wolf comes to snatch the sheep and to scatter them. Luther once said that when you're baptized, you are marked with a bullseye for the devil. Because the devil hates the fellowship that God has established with you. It's even better than the fellowship he had with God before he was thrown out of heaven. And so the devil is going to try every trick in the book to try and lead you astray. Jesus says the wolf comes to snatch and to scatter. Now both of those things destroy the flock. If the devil can't snatch you, then he's going to equally effectively try to scatter the sheep. For a flock, that is no flock at all once the sheep are scattered. And that is one of the devil's attacks, to try and scatter the flock. He knows that the saints of the fold take this love and take this forgiveness that they receive from God, and they show such love and forgiveness to each other. So what the devil does is he tries to drive a wedge between you and your fellow Christian by breaking down the love and forgiveness that holds us together. He comes along and he tries to tell you, so-and-so is so unlovable. Don't you just hate them? They aren't doing the right things. You shouldn't even bother loving them. Or he says, so-and-so did something that is unforgivable. They hurt you and you deserve better. You would never sin against someone like that. Don't forgive them. Hold it against them. These are the lies that the devil uses to try to convince you. And when you buy into them, they scatter the flock. This is evident in all too many churches where love and forgiveness are not abounding, and instead anger, hatred, division, discord, and it happens way more than we would like to admit. If the devil can get us to think that there are limits on our love and forgiveness for others, then, or that someone must merit our love or earn our forgiveness, if he can convince us of that, then we are on our way to begin to think that there is limits on God's forgiveness. We begin to think that God's love must be earned, or that certain sins are unforgivable. If it were up to us, we would have no hope of these attacks. If fighting off the devil was the job that was incumbent upon us, we would be doomed. We are, after all, sheep. It'd be like telling the sheep, "Fight fiercely when the wolf comes." The sheep don't have a chance. But Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And that is perhaps the part of this passage that is so difficult to understand. The fact that the shepherd would be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Now, we could understand it if the good shepherd merely defended the sheep, that he used his staff to fight off the wolf. If it said, "I am the good shepherd, I lead the sheep where there is no danger," that would make sense. But it doesn't say that. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." If you really think about it, that doesn't make any sense at all. For what shepherd, when a wolf comes, puts his life on the line to save sheep? Sheep are just sheep. If the wolf kills them all, at least the shepherd still has his life. He can maybe go buy more someday. But that's not how it is with Jesus. Jesus is not concerned about his own protection or his own safety. Jesus is concerned about the sheep. That these sheep are his own. And he loves them so much that he's willing to lay down his own life for the sake of the sheep. Now, it's completely contrary to our reasoning, but that's exactly what Jesus does. When conventional wisdom looks at sheep and says, "They're just sheep, not worth dying for," Jesus looks at them, Jesus looks at you, and he says, "They may not be worth dying for, but I love them that much." There's no hiding anything with Jesus. We are laid bare before him with all of our sins and all of our secrets. God sees who we really are when no one else is around. He knows our thoughts. He knows our perversions. He knows our desires. God knows how easily we're duped by the devil, how quickly we lose love for our brothers and sisters, how we often hold their sins against them. None of this is a secret to Jesus. Jesus knows it all, and he says, "I lay down my life for those sheep." It's not because we're good enough that Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. It's because we're not good enough. Jesus lays down his life to secure your salvation, to make sure that you have this perfect fellowship and unity that he has with the Father, so that no secret sin, no secret desire, no hate, no unforgiveness, no transgression will stand between us and God. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, nothing can put an end to the fellowship and the unity we have with God. It was established by God in holy baptism, and it is never taken away. Dear sheep, you have a good shepherd. A shepherd who loves you so much that he took all of your sins upon himself, and he died to grant you free, total forgiveness of all of your sins. And so if you're here, he's gathered you to his fold, and you have heard the voice of your shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.